We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I think your assessment of the Eastern Conference is spot on because it's all about matchup. And maybe Boston is a bad matchup for Milwaukee, but there are other teams out there that seems like they can challenge Boston a little bit different than Milwaukee can. I cannot agree with you more.
Good morning, everybody. That is the voice of Antonio Daniels complimenting me on the take that I've had about the Eastern Conference. That's right. I think the Eastern Conference is, well, you know my take by now. See, the Bucks, there's one team that can beat them. It's the Celtics. And I tried to see if I'm maybe wrong about the Sixers, but I don't know. We'll see. Should be fun. The playoff is set. That was from Writer Than You. I don't know if you guys know this, but I've been on CBS Sports Radio a bunch doing Writer Than You. And I will be on there again on Monday night in for Zach Gelb. Back on Gelb Force One, getting out to New York to do his show. I am going to talk with, scheduled to appear, as Matt Moore. You may know him on Twitter as Hardwood Paroxysm. We have gone back and forth a lot about Jokic and Giannis and who the MVP should be. I'm going to try to steer away from the MVP conversation with him, but I am going to tell him I think the Nuggets suck. And then, since you'll all be watching Monday Night Raw tonight on Monday night, I'll probably have some of that on an upcoming podcast, my conversation with him. I am going to bring the conversation I had with Ty Dunn. Ty Dunn and I talk. Ty Dunn, golongtd.com. You know him from all of his articles that turn Packers fans against each other because, oh, he's saying that Rodgers, et cetera, you know, don't be the problem stuff, all came from him with Mark Murphy. So I talked to Ty Dunn. I talked to him about the Jordan Love situation, of course. Do talk a little bit about the tight ends. Packers getting a lot of mock drafts, giving them a tight end in the draft. So we'll start to slowly dip into some draft stuff. And then we talk about some other NFL stuff. So good talk with Ty Dunn that I don't really think a lot of people tuned into the Writer Than You shows that normally listen to this show. Maybe I'm wrong, but it didn't feel like it. I got a few like, oh, my God, you're on 1250, you know, that kind of stuff, which is always, you know, great, but kind of quiet. So anyway, we'll have that. That's why I'm comfortable airing that a little bit later. Do want to talk about the Bucks since that's where I started. We'll talk some Masters. Tim's going to come on, Tim Shea, to talk some Brewers. Good weekend for them. Good start to the season. And I got some voicemails to play as well. But let's just look at how things have shaken out in the NBA. The Bucks did not really try against the Grizzlies or the Raptors over the weekend. I mean, they tried. The guys that played tried is the thing. If you didn't see it, on Friday night, they gave Giannis an incredible gift. Jim Paschke was there, and you know, Ray Allen had come back this weekend. John Hammond was there to honor Giannis for being the all-time point scorer. I believe games played and I believe assists are the three records that he broke this year in franchise history. So that was very cool to see. And then you may have seen the clip where he pointed to his finger as if to imply we're going to go get a second ring. I think the odds of them doing that are still relatively in their favor. At last check, they were still the favorite to win. They finish a grand total of one game over the Celtics at 58-24. So they will be the one seed and they will play the winner of the play-in tournament, or at least the eighth-seeded team. So what's going to happen with this play-in tournament is on Tuesday night, the Hawks are going to play the Heat. I'll just do Eastern Conference here to make it less confusing. But the Hawks are going to play the Heat. The winner gets the 7 seed, all right? and they'll play the Celtics. Then on Wednesday, the Bulls play the Raptors. The loser is out, gone. The winner plays the loser of Heat Hawks. So the Heat have a home game. Let's say the Heat win. Okay, the Heat are the seven. Then it'll be Atlanta versus the winner of Chicago and Toronto. In any of these situations, you know, maybe there's a team we want to play the least. Do you want to play Toronto the least? I don't know. I'd feel pretty comfortable beating up on any of these teams. Maybe they get one, but the Bucks, we need to remind ourselves, are far superior than any of this competition. So looking at it from the Eastern Conference point of view and who could take on the Bucks, that's how that's going to play out. The Bucks then are going to play on Sunday. If there's no time listed by the time that you're hearing this, I will tell you that the other three games that day are Western Conference games. Now, one is in Memphis, which I believe might actually be further east than Milwaukee, which is weird. So maybe, but they're going to be playing a Western Conference team, and they're not going to want to, you know, go ahead and do that. Memphis is about, all right, take like La Crosse, go all the way down, and then jump over maybe 60 miles back east. Memphis is east of the Mississippi, but they're in the Western Conference, and they are more west than Milwaukee. All right, good stuff. All right, so the NBA then playoffs are going to commence not until Saturday. So we've got all this playing stuff to do, and then the playoffs will start. So just looking at some of the series, out west, the Golden State Warriors got the sixth seed. They're going to take on the Kings. At the three seed, I'm gonna go Warriors in five or less. Very nice story for the Kings. Maybe they get that first one at home. You know, light the beam. Maybe it goes six. I don't know. I feel pretty good about the Warriors winning this series. The Denver Nuggets are going to play likely the Timberwolves, Thunder, or Pelicans. I'm assuming the Lakers win and get the seventh seed. So the Denver Nuggets would play the Thunder, Pelicans, or Timberwolves. Pelicans might give them something. Timberwolves are a disaster. You guys all probably saw Rudy Gobert and Kyle Anderson fight. And then they had another guy punch a wall on the way out to the – in two separate issues. Jaden McDaniels punches a wall going back to the locker room, breaks his hand, fractures some bones. And then Gobert gets sent home from the team. We're being told in the group chat they've worked it out. So let's give the Lakers the seven. Denver should win in five or six against one of those teams. I still don't think Denver's getting much further than that, but they should be comfortable in their first round. The Lakers then play the Grizzlies. I did put some money down on the Lakers and the Warriors. Those are the teams I put money down at Pato to get out of the West. I think the Lakers can beat the Grizz. Clippers are going to take on the Suns. I also like the Suns a lot in the West. So all the teams that I said have could win the West, Suns, Warriors, and Lakers, I would take them all to win their series. And we'll see what happens with Denver. In the East, Sixers and Nets, I think I like the Sixers there. I think a lot of us do. Boston should win their series against, let's say, the Heat. And then the Knicks and the Cavs, that's going to be the fun one. And that's ultimately going to be who the Bucks play. So Knicks and the Cavs could go six or seven. I'll just say Cavs if I need a prediction, and then they'll take on the Bucks. So first round of the playoffs, there'll be some intrigue. There'll be some juice. Maybe the Suns-Clippers gives us something. Warriors-Kings, Lakers-Grizzlies. There could be some good series here, but I think things should be relatively easy for the Milwaukee Bucks. But, again, we don't play till Sunday, and then we'll kind of figure out what the schedule is going to be. Unless I have something crazy going on, the whole plan has been to do post games after every Bucks playoff game. And Sunday we'll do that. Now my kid is in a running series where he runs every week. We drive like 30 minutes away to have him run a 50-yard sprint. So I hope the game, I don't want that to interfere, but my wife's just going to have to deal with it, which is a phrase I'm sure she hears way too often. Son, I'd love to watch you run, but daddy's got to go in the basement and talk to Bucks fans. And he'll say, Well, I don't mind, Daddy, because that's how you somewhat earn a living. And I'm proud of you. And I'll say, oh, geez, thanks. Well, you know what I'm proud of, son? I'm proud of how much Daddy takes gummies after you go night-night. God, this kid would not go to bed the other night. Oh, and he was on a hitting streak, just punching me in the arm. But then to relax and to mellow out, which was much needed afterwards. He's 3 years old. You guys, if you have kids, know what three's like. Pop a gummy, feel better. The THC in there, the Delta 8s, the Delta 9s. I do take them regularly to help me fall asleep. The THC, there's a little bit of THC in the CBD, CBN ones. So it helps me. You know, sometimes I take them to feel good. Sometimes I take them to knock me out. There's other THC-free ones that can help you kind of just like focus up if you're, you know, doing something or, you know, just need to start the day and you can't bear to stomach another cup of coffee. Just these are just different things that I've, you know, used them for. And they've been very helpful. Now you can check out these gummies, all these products, happyplacehemp.com. As you know, the promo code is BART, 25% off. The promo code is BART with every order. Every single order that you order, you get 25% off. Remember to put the code in there, BART, happyplacehemp.com. Those are some thoughts on the NBA. We'll have some thoughts on baseball, the Brewers. I got some voicemails to play. All that coming up, the BART Winkler Show.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
1 in 4 car batteries is weak and needs to be replaced. Let our professional parts people test your battery for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
And we're a better place to find Tim Shea than in his car. Tim and I coming to you via the podcast, but also our YouTube channel, which is now under the sponsorship of Dan Shaney Insurance.
Yay!
Put your seatbelt on. That money jack of your rates, Tim.
Yep, don't want to call them.
Jesus.
All right.
No, Dan Shaney, he's another guy that, so the people that like have been sponsoring the show, Carl of Carl's Place, the guys at Sun Ann Interactive that do the website, the Happy Place Hemp guys, Chris and Rob, Dan, they're all part of the Winklerverse. Somebody, I like that name, the Winklerverse.
Winklerverse.
Because of, I like Marvel. So they're all, they're part of it. They love the sports like you guys. They watch these streams. And if you need insurance help, Dan can help you. Dan is a local guy who, what he does is he makes sure to find the best rates for you. So he's a local guy, independent guy. So if you say, this is what I need for my home, this is what I need for my car, he then shops with different companies, comes up with something for you. The best thing for your package locally. So check out Dan. I talked to him last week. Going to have him jump on here a little bit and, you know, get to know him a little bit better. But, yeah, I'm very happy to have Dan Shaney aboard. DanShaney.com, 414-732-2542. That number scrolling across the bottom of the stream. As this YouTube stream, it's Dan's. He owns it. Oh. He owns the stream. He owns Tim Shea driving around in his car.
This is Dan's car now.
He owns Matt in a bathtub eating ice cream. He owns it all. Hey, how was your Easter?
It was good. It was good. Went down to my brother's house. Had ham, like think like everyone else did.
Cheesy, well, ham's good.
Like everyone else did. Mm-hmm. Chicago area, just an hour outside of Chicago, so I could not watch the Brewer game. I watched the White Sox lose 1-0 to the Pirates. And I saw their phenom, O'Neill Cruz. It's not going to be out for a long time, so the Brewers will not have to face him.
Oh, you saw that happen live? Wow.
Yeah. Kind of crazy. Bench is cleared. It was weird.
So you were watching White Sox. Why didn't you guys have the Masters on?
Oh, we're flipping between the White Sox game and the Masters. That's a big White Sox family. So.
Oh, okay. All right. I just thought you had a game on to have a game on.
No. They're White Sox fans. It was either White Sox game, Cubs game, and the Masters.
Because I had family over on Saturday, and we were going to, you always need something on TV, right? Mm-hmm. So we're going to watch the Masters, and it got rained out.
Ooh.
So I turned on XFL and then took my kid to the park.
Cleared the house out.
Yeah, had to do that. And then Sunday, I watched the morning. I had $20 on John Rahm. Just went a light 160. Placed that at Pato. Your boys got two winning bets at Pato. Iowa against South Carolina. John Rahm 8-1 odds. Who needs real employment when our casino's got a sports book now?
And you're funding it pretty much.
I'm. They're funding me.
You're taking the money from.
Taking the money. Jeez. But then I then fund. I like if I win 160, I'll sit at a machine and say, "All right, I'll play with 20." And then when I lose the 20, I'll say, "I'll play with 40." So I'm really only going to bring home $1.20 when I end up going there, because that's what happens. So congratulations to John Rahm, but more importantly, congratulations to me. Brewers over the weekend, 4-0 win on Friday. Good outing from Woody. 6-1 win on Sunday. Good outing from Freddie. Yelich finally homered.
Three for four.
Yeah. Brewers lose on Saturday, 6-0. And there was a lot of people mad about a lot of things. I don't think that they lost, but, whatever. It's a long season. The Yelich discourse was really reaching a boiling point already on Saturday, where we got to put him down in the lineup. He's got to hit seventh. He's got to hit eighth. He's keeping Sal Frelick from coming here. I mean, we're paying this guy $28 million, but he does have to perform better. And then he hit a home run. So maybe he buys himself some time. With Yelich, it's to the point where I don't know what talking about it's going to do. I don't know. It's just the thing that is. Maybe he'll get better. Maybe he won't. But I don't think that, like how we always go over Middleton discourse. I just don't have the stomach to do that with Yelich for the next 8 years.
My dad asked me on Sunday morning, he goes, "How long do we have Yelich?" And I'm like, "I think we have him for like 3 or 4 more years." And he just sighed.
It's more than that, dude.
5, 6, whatever.
It's like his, it just started. The $28 million thing just started. And then they're paying him through 2050.
Okay. Just defer that money. Bobby Bonilla kind of deal.
I'm bummed you didn't see Sunday's game. Bernie had Easter Bunny ears on.
That's been a long-standing tradition. If the Brewers were home on Easter Bunny, it's not like the first day he had them on, by the way. I would know. I've put those bunny ears on the head before, so.
Your guy J.K. Simmons was at the game this weekend?
Yeah, I saw it. I was at Saturday's game, so that was Friday night, I believe. So
you went Saturday, so how did that go? Because I didn't go Saturday, and I don't want to be the guy that shits on something that he didn't see. But what I saw was the pictures of a long line. I saw him going like out to the highway, people trying to get in early, and then some just beelining it and turning around, getting what they got or throwing it on eBay. How was it on Saturday for you trying to get? Of course, it was a Giannis jersey giveaway.
So we go to the game. The first thing that went in my head is when we were leaving the bar, I did not think they would have the crowd that they were going to have. So I'm like, oh, yeah, they might have like 33,000, whatever. They just, few people may not get the jersey, whatever. I go out to the shuttle line to catch a shuttle to the game, and it is 100, 150 people deep. Like, it is crazy. crazy nuts.
For the Kelly shuttle line?
Yes. I'm like, let's walk. So we walked. We walked down. And as we're walking down in the parking lot, we see the lines for the stadium. I've never seen anything like it. Not even during the playoffs. It was nuts.
So why were the lines so long?
Because the Brewers do it a weird way of giving out their promos where you're going through a metal detector, getting your ticket scan, and the promos all at one area. Where some other teams in this area, not going to name them, will have you go through the metal detector and get your ticket scan, give you a coupon then.
So the Cubs.
Much later in.
The Cubs.
The giveaway. And then go up to the concourse in specific sections to a table to redeem your...
To redeem your...
Coupon. So... Yeah. Whether if is that the greatest idea? No, not really, but it shortens the lines. And I think everybody went at once they started seeing lines. And people, the best part is I'm in a bar, I'm at Kelly's, and people are walking in with the jersey on.
What? That means they're not going to the game.
Correct. They're going in to get it and then back out and going to drink at the bar. So I don't know. And there was no good rhythm to the line.
If you really want a Brewers Adetokunbo jersey, can you just personalize
people,
one?
People just started forming their own lines. Like there was no one there to say, well, people should go here and people should go here or go to this gate or go to this gate. Luckily we found a gate that on the, you know how they have those like club level entrances? We went to the first base one. And there was one line that was like snaking four or five times through. This other line, we got in 5 minutes. I'm like,
yeah, why did everyone go to the same gate? That's on the people.
No, because they do, like, I don't know if this is common knowledge or not. I might be saying something that maybe I shouldn't. I don't know. But most of, like, a lot of the inventory of these giveaways are at the home plate gate because that's the most. That's a highly run through gate that people go to. So I think that people maybe know that. And they're like, all right, well, this is our best chance to get whatever they're giving away. So
from what I understand, the Brewers continue to trend that the Bucks have been doing, which I don't get, is that they have a giveaway, but they don't have enough items for the people that buy tickets.
Well, that's another thing.
Like, well, why are teams doing this?
I don't know. This one should have been an all fan giveaway.
Because they do like first 30,000, which is fine if it's like a Tyler Naquin poster, but we're talking about a Giannis jersey.
Yeah.
I don't understand how a team that has given away items before, like, were the people that were doing this, was this their first giveaway? Brewers have been doing giveaways like this for 40 years. It should never be poor. It should never be run poorly. But also it seems like the fans were just like, oh, they're in this line, I'll wait in this line. And then they didn't think to look around.
Well, that's right.
So everyone's an idiot. Except for me, because yeah. I didn't go.
It's just 40,000 or do an all-fan giveaway. And if you run out, you print out coupons that say – please redeem this at another game that you come to. And you
so know. They will still get the jersey?
No, 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 no. I'm saying that's what they should have done.
Oh, yeah. Why don't they do that?
That's happened before where we've
ran. Because the Bucks with that stupid ring, only half the people got it.
I say that when they did, like, all-fan giveaways, they would run out still. But they gave out a coupon that said if you didn't get one,
fucking stupid.
Redeem it. I know, but... So I don't know. Just they should have known. I should have known better too. I should have been like, yeah, this is gonna be a sellout. I did not sell mine. I was a good person and gave it to my niece.
Oh, good for you.
So she's happy. And I saw them on eBay today for $180.
Well, I always shit on people that do that, but I've rechanged, like, to each their own. Also, what I was mad about last year was people that were selling the Elmo bobblehead on eBay. But then my son, as soon as we got it back home, threw it against the wall and his head fell off. So I was thinking actually of going on eBay and getting the bobblehead, but they're still for $55.
An Elmo bobblehead.
Elmo Brewer's bobblehead, 55. Like, if I could just wait 2 years, I'll find it at Goodwill.
Yeah.
Three.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's stupid.
And then, of course, the Brewers go out and shit the bed when you have the biggest crowd of the year.
Yeah. That's unfortunate.
I mean, it seemed like that. When I worked there, it seemed like that happened a lot. Like, when we had a really big crowd, they would lose, like, 8-2.
But I guess still really good. Like, everybody's pretty I mean, why wouldn't you be there? 7-2. And even the thing that everyone was complaining about today, I mean, Yelich was 3-for-5 with a home run. So, what are you going to do?
Yeah, I mean, this is a big road trip coming up here.
Yeah, it's kind of a bummer. Like, this might kill some of the fan momentum, but or maybe people stay up later. I don't know.
I'll stay up. I'll be up. I'll be watching these games. I mean, Arizona, San Diego for 4, and then Seattle. Seattle's a team that you don't get to see often throughout the year, so that will be fun in a week.
I don't know. I got another big week.
Yeah?
I got Zach Gelb on Monday night.
Oh, nice.
I got Forward Madison on Tuesday.
Okay, first game of the year.
Yeah, it's the U.S. Open Cup. It was rescheduled from last week, and I actually think that might be it. I will go live on Wednesday after the afternoon game.
Okay. Good weather for that soccer game on Tuesday.
Yeah, it would be nice. All right, I do have one voicemail. I'm going to play a bunch of voicemails coming up, but I have one from Tony in Texas.
Yeah, he told me. I've heard about this.
I think you should hear.
Yes, I know. Go.
This is a voicemail on the Carl's Place voicemail line from Tony in Texas.
Barty, hey, it's your old buddy Tony from Texas coming at you. Got a buy or sell segment. I got to go talk to you about 3 questions, Bart. Buy or sell. The Bucks will trade Chris Middleton if they don't make the NBA Finals. Buy or sell.
Sell. Tim?
Sure, sell.
Secondly, the Brewers off to a hot start should be considered the favorites in the NL Central. Buy or sell?
Sell. I'm buying that. St. Louis is not good.
What do you mean?
St. Louis has a good offense, don't get me wrong, but their pitching is very, very average.
Jordan Montgomery's pretty fucking good.
Okay, one game, all right. I have him on my fantasy baseball team, too.
Yeah, I got the reliever that got shit on today. All right.
Lastly, the Brewers are now tipping the scale over 5,600 pounds, the largest team in MLB this year. 5,600 pounds as a team. Bart, is the Bart Winkler Show duo of Bart and Tim the heaviest podcast duo in the state of Wisconsin? And is that duo topping 500 pounds? Buy or sell? I look forward to your answers. Thanks, Bart. You're on fire.
What up? You know.
Well, what do you weigh?
I'm not telling you.
If I tell you I weigh about 230, are we over 500?
No.
Okay, sell. Are we close?
No, we aren't. Believe it or not.
I'm going to push us over 500 pretty soon.
After my Easter dinner, let's go.
I was so bloated all Saturday, and I didn't even eat that much.
No.
I just had ham and potatoes and candy and beer and more ham and potatoes and chocolate and an Egg McMuffin and porterhouse and spaghetti and not that much. I was doing lastly, I just want to congratulate John Rahm again. I was talking with Toby a little bit. He wasn't super excited about Jim Nance's call. He said something on John Rahm, like, from sun up to sundown, John Rahm is your champion. And I said, he'll never beat. There was 1 year Y.E. Yang won a tournament. And Jim Nance said, Y.E. Yang, Y.E.S. So we were doing other ones for us. Toby's call for Jim Nantz for me to win the Masters is from toilet wings to championship swings. Bart Winkler has won the green jacket at Augusta.
That is fantastic.
For Toby, his is pretty easy. I said, Toby, it is to be. Altizer has won the Masters.
That is good. That is
for
good.
For Frames, I said, he'll be eating at Augusta the rest of his life for free, man. Chuck has won the Masters.
champions dinner.
And then for you, I said, Shay, it ain't so. Tim Shay is passed out at the hot dog stand.
You fucker. Sorry.
Love you, Tim.
Love you, Bart.
Let's attack some more voicemails. Again, brought to you by Carl's Place, Carl of ET.com. It's the Carl's Place voicemail line. You guys could have played the Masters this weekend on your golf simulator. You certainly could have. The one that me and Toby did was incredible because it like has video to replay your swing. And I mean, if you stink like me, I would much rather have a golf simulator than have like some 75-year-old guy tutor me for $15 an hour. I'd rather take the golf simulator and play all these favorite courses across the world. A lot of people talking about the LIV Golf and the PGA, and the discussion was the PGA shouldn't ban the LIV golfers because, like, look at the guys that were there: Patrick Reed, Mickelson, Koepka. I mean, it's my understanding that the LIV golf guys left the PGA. They left. So they left, and you're supposed to say, oh, no, come back and play in our events. No, I'm team PGA here all the way. They left. You. Congrats again to John Rahm, Masters champion. Carl's Place, Carl of ET.com /Bart. You can also check that out at the website, BartWinklerShow.com. A couple of voicemails to get to you. You can call the line, 402-915-BART, 402-915-BART. I think we have a take on Middleton. This is from Tony.
Hey, Mark. Donnie, Colin, first time, long time. Thinking back on the game last night, I know Hot Take Jake likes it.
All right, the game last night is Wednesday's game. This is a Thursday voicemail. So he's not breaking down Bucks, Raptors, or Bucks. The other team, Grizzlies. Bucks Bulls last Wednesday, so that's following that game.
Talk about me to get rid of Middleton and everything, and I don't agree with that at all, him and his cold takes. But what I do think about this team is I think it's good Middleton was kind of gone all year because you've seen last night how much we were able to actually play better without him because we've had to do it all year long. So we're set up for the playoff now because of all these other guys we've added, like Ingles and Jay Crowder. And I really hope we do have Grayson and Pat back for the playoff. I do hope we have Middleton because it makes us that much better of a team. But I do think this year we do have the ability to beat the Celtics without him now because of guys like Ingles, like I said, and Jay. But big time is I think Drew has taken that next step as a player and really been able to count on him offensively and defensively. I'm not scared about the Celtics. I think we're going to take them. I don't think it even goes 7. I do think we beat them in 6 just because of Giannis and Drew and all these other guys we got around now. So that's all I want to say. Also, get out of here, Cold Take Jake.
Wow. Cold Take Jake. Yeah, again, with the Bucks, man, and Middleton, I really am interested to see what series they're going to need him and how much they're going to need him. They are deep. They are good. Drew is ascended. Brooke is ascended. They'll need Middleton. But like I've been saying, I don't know that they need 35 minutes of Middleton. And if you can maximize Middleton's minutes, you know, almost in a 6-man sort of role. I know some of you guys have suggested him coming off the bench. Like he can still start, but just maximize those minutes. Or maybe he does play 35. Maybe he does play 40. I just think that there's a little more wiggle room with what you can get away with. You're not as dependent on Middleton as you were in the past. I don't know if this roster is constructed still beats the Celtics last year, game six, game seven without Middleton. I think they really did need Middleton in that series, but we'll see. You know, I can't imagine this first series they're going to need Middleton. And then if they play the Cavs or the Knicks, you know, then you'll probably start to need some Middleton minutes, and then we'll see who they got in the Eastern Conference Finals. Should, of course, they go that far. Congrats to Giannis. Mentioned him earlier. There was the stat that I think everybody should be retweeting. Only two players in NBA history have averaged 30-plus points per game, 10-plus rebounds per game, 5-plus assists per game, and shooting 50%-plus in a season. So only two people have ever gone 30, 10, and 5 while shooting better than 50%. Giannis and Wilt. Only one player has done it shooting 55%-plus, and that is Giannis. Truly historic. Would like to see him get more MVP consideration. He had a great quote that says, "Of course I want to be the MVP, but I'm not going to campaign for it. I'm not going to campaign for it, and I'm not going to tear other guys down in the process." Well, Giannis, that's why you've got your Bucks Army and Bucks Nation to do that for you, and we will continue to stand for you until our last bated breath. Got Troy in New Berlin. Looks like another Bucks voicemail that came in on Friday.
Hey, Bart, this is Troy in New Berlin, second-time caller, long-time lurker, fellow Packer owner. I'm calling just to add this. I'm immensely enjoying this Bucks season. Here's hoping Lopez, Giannis, and Portis get the hardware they deserve, but I'm assuming the national media will overlook the good land. It's a relief the team locked up the one seed, can rest for multiple days this upcoming week, and we won't be the Celtics for 6 years until the Eastern Conference Finals at best. But the question is, will we see Aaron Rodgers at any of the Bucks postseason games? I, for one, would like to see Bart Winkler and Tim Shea on the Bucks video board this championship run. You guys deserve it way more than those Trumps, Charlie Barons, and A.J. Dillon. Bart, is it in the NBA bylaws that the Bucks can trade Aaron Rodgers' ownership interest in the Bucks to another team for a draft pick? I'm putting my bet in at the Pato kiosk that the Bucks win the finals. Bucks in six, all eat 5,000.
All right. Lots going on in there. I appreciate that. I would love if the Bucks, you know, acknowledged me for what I did for them 2 years ago with my parade chairs. I would like them to remove one of the – I wish I was big enough where the Bucks – put a parade chair in the front row and let me sit there for a game. And it was like people are like, yeah, like I don't need to be like Drake big, but I wish I was like Charlie Barron's big, you know, that would be good. I wish I was like Charlie Barron's. Well, I don't know. I don't know if I want to be that big. I just want the Bucks to acknowledge me and people to like get it. Because I think if that happened, so a lot of people would be like, what's this about now? Guy in a parade chair? Those of you that listened and have followed me in the show, God, I won't shut up about the parade chair. But how much did it reach the zeitgeist? How many casual Bucks fans knew about the parade chair in like other cities? I wonder. All right, got another voicemail, and this is kind of a weird one. This is from Ben in Denver. I feel like I might know this guy from Twitter. Anyway, here's Ben in Denver.
Hey, this is Ben in Denver. I just needed to get something off my chest. First time, long time. I cheated on my partner, not physically, but emotionally, which is worse. I met a really great person. I've never been a father, but she had kids, and they were phenomenal, too. We kind of rushed into things, which I don't regret, but she's always been a big cheerleader in my career, and when I got down, she always was there to encourage me. I'm one of these guys that struggle with words of affirmation, which is her love language, but I'm big active with acts of service. That's mine, and she's kind of the opposite. It was rocky in spurts, but we always pushed through. So we had some knockdown dragouts, but we always pushed through. What did my dumbass do, you ask? I didn't reach out to my partner and talk about our problems. I did the dumbest thing possible. I tried talking to and sexting my ex. Yeah, I'm that piece of shit. It happened 4 or 5 times over a 6-month period. I'm that piece of shit. And of course, it all came out in a good woman who was and is the love of my life and her children now to deal with my fuck-ups. I'm going to spend the rest of my life trying to make it up to them, but I think we all know with the unforgivable that comes not being forgiven. She may see this and hear this. She may not. This isn't my love letter or Hail Mary. I needed to be accountable. If you guys find your person, don't lie to them. Don't cheat on them. Open up while you can. Also, inside sources tell me and Mark Schlereth that Aaron Rodgers could be a Denver Bronco. Oh, I love this show. Thanks, guys.
Well, Ben, really airing out all his feelings on Twitter. I mean, on the voicemail. On a platform nobody asked for and just went on and on. I'd maybe try to work that out with your partner rather than air it out on the voicemail line. Goodness gracious. Going to hear our chat with Ty Dunn. Ty joined me on Writer Than You on Friday. We talked some Aaron Rodgers. Now, there was some big news over the weekend. Odell Beckham signing with the Ravens. $15 million deal, 1 year, some incentives. Lamar Jackson has an Instagram where they're FaceTiming, so it appears that Lamar will still be a Raven at this point. But the whole indication on Friday was Odell was going to sign with the Jets, and then on Sunday, out of nowhere, it's the Ravens. Joe Douglas, Jets GM, did an event with Boomer and Geo of WFAN in New York saying Aaron Rodgers is on his way. It's just, I mean, to just be – this whole thing setting up for like the most massive old takes exposed ever. If the Jets can't bring Rodgers to Green Bay, how do you keep constantly doing this? Ultimately, I think Rodgers will be a Jet and we'll forget about some of this stuff. But if he is not a Jet, if someone else comes in or if the Packers, you know, keep him or whatever, whatever happens, the Jets sold their fans like a bag of good. They went and met with him like a month ago. Pretty wild stuff. So Ty Dunn and I told him, and this is what I started with. I told him my theory about why I think Jordan Love is good. Jordan Love is good, as I've told you guys, because Aaron Rodgers didn't want him to play. At 4-8, injured, pretty much out of the playoffs. Rodgers could have shut it down, but he didn't want to see Jordan Love play. No, he didn't want to see the world see what he knew if Jordan Love could play. And I talked to Tyler about that from golongtd.com.
I think that's a very astute take. I really
Thank
do.
You.
Because it was the opposite that first off season, right after Love's rookie season, when he went on strike basically for what, 4 or 5 months. And, you know, there's all these reports leaked that he needs the GM fired. Reports, by the way, I don't think were really refuted. So, and it took the begging and the pleading on the Packers' part, the bending of the knee, if you will, to bring him back, give him a seat at the table, make him the assistant to the assistant GM, and have all the autonomy at the line of scrimmage and behind the scenes to do whatever he wants. I think that Aaron did that in large part because he knew they weren't ready to just hand the keys over to Jordan Love. They didn't want to rush their plan. And at some point, it flipped. And I really do think it flipped shortly after they gave Aaron Rodgers the $150 million contract. I mean, Jordan Love, unlike the starter, went to work. He's in direct communication with Matt LaFleur via Steve Calhoun, his personal coach. He's working on exactly everything the Packers want him to. He shows up to OTAs. He's QB1. And one note there, you know, after the Philly game when we all saw that he can do it and the Packers saw it, which went a long way, that last month and a half, 2 months, I was told by one Packers receiver, I mean, he's working with the first team offense a lot. So they saw in practice. It wasn't like he was just on the scout team for 3 years. He did get work behind the scenes with those starters, and now he's doing it again out there in California this offseason. So, yeah, I mean, Brian Gutekunst ain't lying. They just need to see him playing games. That's the next step. I think they're dying to do that, and that's why they're so decisive in moving on with Jordan Love.
Talking with Ty Dunn, so in the last 5 weeks, Rodgers had 5 touchdowns, he had a touchdown a game, and he did throw 3 interceptions, nothing that Jordan Love couldn't have done.
And so the Packers, they're ready to move on. They kind of maneuvered it where they let Rodgers get out there first and say, I want to play for the Jets. And then when Brian Gutekunst, their GM, talks, he can say, my quarterback say he wants to play for the Jets. So we're going to move on that way. Now it's a matter of getting this deal done. I think it seems like it'll get done before the draft. Although I almost, as a Packer guy, I almost don't need this trade to happen before the draft, because then you can really put the screws to the Jets and then you can really back them into the corner. But it does seem like it'll get done, at least from what I'm seeing, before the draft, maybe not a first-round pick. What's your indication on when we'll get a resolution to this?
No doubt. I think Green Bay has the leverage here. Green Bay's in a great position. They've told us all publicly, right? I know when we had the report go along with Bob McGinn that they're moving forward, Jordan Love, they're done with Aaron Rodgers, it kind of stunned everybody. But, I mean, they basically have said that and even more publicly. I mean, you can kind of sense the disgust from the president, the GM, and rightfully so, because, I mean, I think there's a narrative put out there by the quarterback that, you know, isn't necessarily true. I tend to believe Brian Gutekunst when he says he's trying to get a hold of the guy and he can't. So, yeah, long story short, they've got the leverage because they're moving forward with Jordan Love. It's going to be his team. He's their quarterback. It's just a matter of unloading Aaron Rodgers somehow. And the Jets, what are their other options here? Look, I agree with a lot of people in thinking, why not Lamar Jackson? Why not just pivot? Four years of guaranteed money to Lamar Jackson. You can find a lot worse risk than that in football. But they're all set up for Aaron Rodgers at this point. They got his offensive coordinator, one of his closest friends in the sport, Nathaniel Hackett. They signed Alan Lazard. They're probably going to sign more of his friends. Robert Saleh is out there saying, yeah, we don't even really need him at OTAs, which tells you Aaron Rodgers is telling the Jets, yeah, I'm not showing up. I mean, they're kind of doing exactly what Green Bay did last year. For better or worse, they're desperate. I mean, Woody Johnson, he's been drafting quarterbacks. They've gone that route. And they've whiffed, historical whiffs, with Sam Darnold, Zach Wilson. They don't want to draft a guy. They want a veteran. They need star power. The Giants are going to be good for a long time with Brian Daboll and Joe Shane in charge. This I think you add it all up, they have to kind of go all in on Aaron Rodgers, for better or worse. And the Packers know that. So they're not going to blink, right? I mean, Rodgers went out to embarrass them 2 years ago all offseason. He wanted them punished publicly. Green Bay's not going to rush this for his sake. I think they're just fine.
Talking NFL with Ty Dunn. You can follow him on Twitter at Ty Dunn. You can also subscribe to his work, great work, golongtd.com. You mentioned Lamar Jackson, and that's one of the things that surprised me is – the Jets had an opportunity to at least, like, pretend to have leverage and say, oh, yeah, we could be interested in Lamar, and they go out of their way to say they're not. The Ravens then this week don't want to talk about Lamar. It's got to be the perfect setting to ever even dare ask a question about Lamar. And I don't know. I don't know that this – I've talked to a bunch of people in Baltimore. You know, I'm sure you've talked a lot more, like, real sources. I just talked to dudes on the radio. But it seems like every other guy I talk to still to this day, half of them say, oh, he'll be back, he'll play week one, and the other half say he's gone. Where's Lamar Jackson playing in week one?
Oh, I tend to think it's a people business and relationships matter. I mean, we all saw it in Green Bay for better and worse, all ends of the spectrum. And I just think that this relationship between quarterback and team, it seems damaged beyond repair outside looking in, right? That gut feeling more than anything. When Lamar Jackson is publicly making it known that he requested a trade exactly when the head coach is speaking at the owner's meeting, that doesn't seem like it's coincidental, nor should it. I mean, it's beyond strange that Lamar Jackson, 2019 unanimous MVP, all pro, Heisman winner, franchise transcendent talent. I mean, he changed the franchise, is in this position where the Ravens are calling his bluff and saying, okay, go see what that market's like. We never see a talent like that hit the market, let alone under these circumstances. And what makes it stranger is there's no team showing interest. So yeah, I mean, it's not even soft collusion. None of these owners want guaranteed money to be a thing in the NFL. They're not going to take their cue from Jimmy Haslam and the Cleveland Browns. I get it. But still, he's so good. And teams live in purgatory at that quarterback position for for an entire generation. I live here in Buffalo, New York. They were bad for 17 years. I mean, they're cycling from the Kelly Holcombs and the J.P. Lossmans and the Trent Edwardses to the Ryan Fitzpatricks to the Tyrod Taylors. I mean, good luck. I mean, to these teams that are making it known they don't want Lamar Jackson, best of luck to you, because there's a good chance he'll be out of a job in a year or two. You know what he is. He's talented. He's an MVP. Is it going to eat up a 50-year cap? Yep. But so what? It's worth it. I mean, he can win you a Super Bowl. I don't understand it. And I think that the crux of it is the guaranteed money issue, and then you've got the injury risk on top of that. You've got needing to change your offense because of the skill set on top of that. It's a lot of other stuff, but it's just a shame that, you know, teams just aren't willing to pay that guaranteed money, because if they were, it'd be done by now.
Well, right. They don't want to pay guaranteed money for quarterbacks. They never really have, but over the last 10 years, they've started to pay a little bit of it guaranteed. I remember when Kirk Cousins first signed, and a lot of that was guaranteed, and we turned our heads a little bit. But when you have there's a lot of teams that have paid a lot of money to average quarterbacks just to avoid having a terrible quarterback. So there is a purgatory with it. And I think what's going to happen is, if you play this out and Lamar doesn't get guaranteed money, there's going to be a lot of outcry when Joe Burrow gets pretty close to guaranteed money and Justin Herbert gets pretty close to guaranteed money. I think guaranteed money, Ty, is coming for quarterbacks nearly fully. So it's just going to look bad when these guys get it down the road, and it didn't happen for Lamar.
He didn't finish the last two seasons, which I get. That's not a good look, and who knows? We have to take him at his word that he's in pain. He can't play on these injuries. But I think it's also worth noting that both of those injuries, that he wasn't scrambling around. You know, it wasn't him being a runner. He was in the pocket. Go back and look at those plays. I mean, anybody can get hurt on those plays. He doesn't really take a lot of hits. For as much as he runs, you know, he's not getting clobbered in the trenches play in and play out. That aspect of it, I think, is worth debating too. I mean, because that'd be the difference, right? When Joe Burrow gets paid, when Justin Herbert gets paid, they're going to say these are traditional pocket passers. But I think that there should be, anyways, a team out there that's just willing to take a chance, because we've seen it. It's not even really a chance at this point. You know, when he's healthy and he's out there, he is a top five, if not a top three quarterback. So I don't know. That's why I just keep coming back to that guaranteed money. And maybe the perfect balance is short-term guarantee, right? Maybe 2, even 3 years of guaranteed money. And then he gets another bite at the apple after that, whether it's in Baltimore or via trade, we'll see. But to answer your original question, I have no clue where this guy is going to play. You know, I think we get through the draft and these teams kind of get their plans in order and they have more clarity at the quarterback position, because, you know, Indy's sitting at 4. If they're able to get the quarterback they want, you know, then they're not going to have interest in Lamar Jackson. But if they're unable to move up and they have to take somebody else, that makes a lot of sense, right? I mean, the Colts make a lot of sense. What about like Minnesota? You know, they've been really careful with money, and they've been shedding a lot of salary. But Kirk Cousins doesn't seem very happy that he could potentially be a lame duck. Maybe the Vikings are a sneaky team to kind of enter the fray post-draft.
Talking with Ty Dunn, golongtd.com. You can subscribe there. Great work from Ty, as always. You mentioned you're in Buffalo. They have taken over that division for the most part, which was so firmly New England's for a long time. Last 3 years have been weird there with New England. You know, they're right around a 500 team, sneaking to the playoffs here. Mac Jones, their quarterback. I'm not ever sure that was the guy they wanted or the right fit. Bailey Zappe is one good game, and all of a sudden it's Zappe mania, and then he falls down back to earth. Now apparently Mac Jones is being shopped. Where are the Patriots headed with Bill Belichick, who is the greatest coach of all time, maybe Vince Lombardi in there? But at some point, like, it's always weird in sports. It's like, the guy has done so much for you. He earns a lot of cachet, but right now they are not winning, so I don't know what the future of the Patriots holds.
It's the worst place to be, a quarterback. When you're kind of in that middle ground, you see this a lot when teams take a quarterback, you know, between, like, you know, 12 to 20. There's a reason quarterbacks kind of fall into that tier. And I think we've all rightfully assumed that Bill Belichick will just figure it out as teams get better as the season kind of progresses. But there's a reason that we were all losing our minds into last season. When you decide Joe Judge and Matt Patricia are going to run your offense, I mean, it's the height of hubris. If anybody deserves to have that hubris, it's Bill Belichick. He is the greatest ever. But sometimes, like, when something's so obviously and painfully terrible, it is, and it was. I mean, Mac Jones has let it be known through all these reports that he was a little lost with them running the show on offense, and they didn't really have a ton of talent at receiver. It was disastrous. I have a hard time just writing Mac Jones off because of that. I mean, there's a reason so many of these quarterbacks, they go through coordinators and coordinators and coordinators, take a while to turn a corner. You know, Alex Smith comes to mind, a lot of guys like that. So is Mac Jones good? Is he not good? It's probably worth seeing for a third year, but where there's smoke, there's fire. And I'm sure Bill Belichick is looking around the AFC and seeing this arms race and knows, all right, we probably have to do better than Mac Jones if we're going to compete with these guys. Who is that quarterback? I don't know. I guess if you're going to listen to Meek Mill, it's Lamar Jackson. But I would be surprised if they went that route.
Ty, you're also the author of The Blood and Guts, How Tight Ends Save Football. You can check that out on Amazon and wherever you get your books. This draft class this year, are there any tight ends that stand out to you? Because it's Travis Kelce and everybody else. I mean, it even used to be like Dalton Schultz a little bit, Mark Andrews, but it's Travis Kelce, and he's such a game changer where the Packers lose Devontae Adams and they're lost, and then the Chiefs lose Tyreek Hill, but they've still got Travis Kelce. Is there anybody like that in this year's draft?
Man, obviously I'm biased, having written The Blood and Guts, How Tight Ends Save Football. This is what you want. This is what you need. Somebody who's going to roll up the sleeves and kick some butt in the run game and also make that play down the field. It's tough. It's difficult. They're woefully underpaid. But, yeah, this draft is loaded. I mean, Dalton Kincaid out of Utah, right? I mean, I'd start there. This is a guy that seems to be able to do it all. But where do you take one of these tight ends? Do you go the first round? I tend to think you should. Like you said, there's only one Kelce. There's only one Kittle. And the tight end position overall, statistically, I think everybody plugging in fantasy lineups could probably attest there weren't a lot of a lot of banana stat lines out of these tight ends. But I think that all three of those guys at the top this year can give you that and maybe even something in the run game. So it's so valuable. I mean, just look there in Green Bay, all the years where they just didn't have a tight end. And they tried. I mean, JerMichael Finley was ascending when his career ended with the neck injury. Jimmy Graham got a lot of money. It didn't work out, right? I mean, with the quarterback, they never really got on the same page. And, I mean, Martellus Bennett mixed in there. I would think a team like the Packers could just really benefit from a tight end because they're going to want to run the ball. They need a playmaker over the middle of the field. You have a young quarterback in Jordan Love who's going to try to find that tight end. I mean, DeGuara could actually have a bigger role this year, too, there. It's such a valuable position that, I would think that you'll see two, maybe even three going first.
Ty Dunn. I'm not going to go back and listen, but I might have called him Ty Long at one point. I don't remember. Tyler Dunn of Go Long TD. I don't know. Either way, you know what I was talking about. You know what I like to call? I like to call everybody that I've ever known that likes to cook meat, and I say, hey, how do you feel about a bunch of steak? And they say, oh, I love it. Are we talking Omaha steaks? And I say, yeah, did you put that promo code in there, Bart? And they say, abso-fucking-lutely I did. Save $30 when I got the package of meat. And then they say, that was pretty sweet. And they say, are other people doing the same? I go, as a matter of fact, they should be. OmahaSteaks.com, get that package of meat and put in the promo code Bart at checkout. You get $30 off. Brewers have the night games this week. It's a West Coast trip. I am doing Zach Gelb on Monday night. I have a thing with Forward Madison. I'm their PA guy for that soccer team. I'm doing that Tuesday. There's a slight chance I'm up late. Otherwise, I may just pretend like, I don't know. These ones are going to be tricky. Wednesday, I do plan after the Brewers series finale with the Diamondbacks to at least give some proper discussion on the Brewers. Planning a live show on Wednesday afternoon after Brewers and Diamondbacks. And then they're right back on the road. So lots going on this week. Some of it a little bit later with the crew. The NBA play-in tournament. No NBA games on Monday. A couple on Tuesday, Wednesday. None on Thursday. And then back on Friday, we'll find out who the Bucks play. Bucks' first game is on Sunday. We'll also chat. I got a couple of people that I just need to confirm with for some conversations. We are going to hear. I talked with Matt Collar over the weekend from Purple Insider, Vikings guy. And we kind of I told him all the things I've told everybody about Rodgers. But I did talk Lions, Bears, Vikings, and some other NFC North stuff, which I think will fill some time this week. Or, I mean, I think is interesting this week for people to listen to. So that's coming up as well. So great to be with you. Thanks, as always, for listening. I appreciate your time. And I appreciate everything that you do. You guys truly are phenomenal human beings. Never forget it.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.